Whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there is always someone to tell you that you are wrong. There are always difficulties arising that tempt you to believe your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end requires some of the same courage that a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave men and women to win them. And this week's opening quote comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, it's nice to be back here on the air talking to you. I'm back in the Amazon again, so you may hear a few jungle noises and maybe some high-pitched insect sounds in the background, the same as you possibly did on the last show. I must apologise for that, but there's really not a lot I can do about it due to the current circumstances. But the good news is that I will be gone from the Amazon next week, and I will be back in Australia for a month, and I will be trying to get some shows done for you while I'm there. I'm actually flying out to Australia later this evening, or actually flying back to Australia tomorrow, and I'm doing a talk at the Maitreya Festival in Victoria next weekend, so unfortunately I'm not going to be available to bring you another show next weekend. And please do accept my apologies for the irregularity and inconsistency of the shows lately, but I have been touring around a lot and travelling a lot and doing a lot of speaking dates, and so it's been very difficult to maintain the shows every week while I'm doing so. I was actually in Acapulco in Mexico last week, speaking at the Anacapulco conference. That was a wonderful gig. It was really, really great to meet so many wonderful people in the audience there. I met a lot of fans of the show, so many nice people, and to have the talk so well received, and to also meet all the other activists that were speaking there as well. I got to catch up with my brother Ken O'Keefe and also Zen Gardner, and to meet a few other people as well, such as Larkin Rose and Luke Wadowski and a bunch of people. So it was really good to see so many people on the same page that are working to make change in the world. I recommend that you check it out if you're thinking about going to Mexico next year. I'm actually speaking there again next year. It would be great to see you there. It was a great honor to be asked to come and speak there and to be flown there and to have my room and everything supplied for me. Of course, I didn't get paid for the gig, but it was nice to get flown to Acapulco and to be able to check it out anyway. But yes, folks, I am back in the Amazon now, so there is the possibility that you may hear a few insect and jungle noises during the course of the broadcast tonight, so please do accept my apologies. And I would like to cover a little bit of esoteric ground on the show tonight, folks, touch a few deep nerves perhaps with people, but I want to touch on a couple of topics that I have touched on before, but may at first seem to be a little bit out there to people, and I don't want people to think that I'm going into fear-mongering mode or trying to scare you or bring you negative information. I'm simply looking at things and assimilating the information in the best way I can and coming to the best logical conclusions that I can come to looking at the information. So that's what I tend to do, folks, and I've always felt that it's good to look at the truth and look at the whole truth and find what the remedy is to the situations that we're facing. But if we're not prepared to look at things, if we're not prepared to face the darkness, then we're not going to find remedy to that darkness. And well, I mean, I personally think the darkness is there for a reason, and that is to give us the opportunity to heal it. But that's never going to happen unless we are prepared to look the darkness square in the face. And that's just with a few things that I would like to cover perhaps a little bit later in the show. But it certainly has been an interesting week or two since I've been off the air, and it just seems to happen every time I go off the air, folks. There's just never any shortage of fun and things to talk about from these people, is there? Well, I don't suppose fun is the right word, although I suppose it's fun for them. They certainly do get up to some clown-like antics. But the problem is that their clown-like antics usually work out very, very bad for the people of their respective constituencies, namely us. Suffice to say, the world has been getting crazier by the minute, and that just seems to be the nature of things these days. Of course, Australia is once again leading the way in this type of craziness. Australia seems to be leading the way in oppression and tyranny and basic removal of basic rights of just about everybody that can these days. They're talking about introducing mandatory vaccinations before flying now, so that anybody who is to board an aircraft must be up on their vaccines. Isn't this wonderful news, folks? I mean, how corrupt are these people? It's incredible. But they're talking about introducing this in November. So it will be very interesting to see if that happens. Of course, it's only talk at the moment, but we know where this talk always seems to go. But it will be interesting to see if they introduce mandatory vaccinations for anybody who flies. If that happens, I guess I won't be able to fly home after next November. But I'm sure if that does happen, it will cause lots of people to get up in arms about it. I mean, things really are getting in people's faces now, and this is just another attempt of the government at exercising a right of ownership over the people and showing how little respect they have for people. And this respect has never been more personified in the form of Julie Bishop, our foreign minister, who has said that Australia would make an ideal location for a nuclear waste dump. Isn't that wonderful from a foreign minister? This is a woman who doesn't even understand international law, remember? Because as far as she's concerned, she can't see any international laws that Israel is breaking. I mean, give me a break, just the existence of Gaza Strip is a complete breach of international law. But anyway, this woman has such little regard for her country and the people of her country that she's saying, hey, come and drop all your nuclear waste here, we'd be happy to take it. That's what she thinks about this country. And then, of course, after she's made lots of money on striking these types of deals, I imagine she'll just run off to politician land or wherever it is that politicians go once they leave office. I mean, they seem to disappear somewhere with all the wealth they've absconded with and leave their countries in a state of disrepair. And that seems to be the standard procedure with politicians. So that seems to be what she's got on her agenda, folks. She wants to leave a legacy behind, and that legacy is turning Australia into a nuclear waste dump. Go Julie Bishop. What a great woman to employ for the job. I mean, this is a woman who I doubt could successfully run a cake stall at a fete, and here she is appointed as our foreign minister. So it really does say a lot for the government of this country under the auspicious leadership of Malcolm Turdfull. I mean, we knew this guy was going to be bad news and he was going to trash the country. That's why they had to place him in power, because God knows nobody would have voted for him. But he certainly has excelled in doing it at the fastest possible rate, along with his corrupt cabinet. These are the people who are also signing Australia or have signed Australia into the TPP, folks. And don't forget what the TPP is. It is the most corrupt trade agreement ever. This is a trade agreement which ignores all human rights, ignores all humanitarian crisis, even is open to religious persecution if you're a religious person. Doesn't matter what you believe your rights are. Your government has just signed them all away to corporate interests and given them the right to come in and completely trash anything and everything that they want to. And nothing, be it humanitarian, ecological, religious, or otherwise, is allowed to interfere with corporate profits. That is what our government has done. That is, in fact, what every government who has signed into this corrupt Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement has also done. They've done it in our name, folks, but again, it is up to us whether we choose to go along with it or whether we choose to actually stand up and call it for what it is, which is basically the theft of our country by politicians we placed in office to do exactly the opposite of what they are doing, and all who stand in abuse of the office that they hold, and all who stand in positions of treason against their nation. And I think it's about time we called it, folks, because that's what it is. They've basically sold the nation out from under our feet. And this isn't just Australia. This has happened with every single country who has signed into the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. This is basically the corporate takeover of the world by an unelected corporate body who has been given the permission to basically rape all of our environments in any manner they see fit, destroy all of our livelihoods and all of our homes, all with the blessings of the politicians that we employed to keep us safe and to manage our infrastructure in a responsible manner. I mean, it's just getting out of control. You've got to wonder how out of control it's going to get and where they're going to take it. And really, when you look at what's happening, well, the sky's the limit for these people. The only thing that's going to stop them doing anything is dependent upon how far we allow them to go. Now, that's always how much tyranny you will be subject to from your rulers, folks. You'll be subject to exactly as much tyranny as it takes for you to stand up. And then they'll back down. Then they'll start push in a little bit more. But it will be when we choose to stand up and say no to this is going to stop. And unless we do that, well, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse as it is doing. And so I think it might be time for people to perhaps pay attention now. And look, there certainly is a lot for people to pay attention to because things are getting particularly interesting, to say the least. And I want to cover what may seem to be perhaps a few esoteric topics today and just get into a little bit of this and examine a few of the possibilities that seem to be unfolding for our not-too-distant future. Now, those of you who've followed the show for a while, those of you who've perhaps watched some of my work or perhaps watched some of my films, there was a film that I put out in 2012 called Transformation, where I spoke pretty heavily about the transhumanist agenda and where things were going, just by sort of looking at what was out there and sort of putting all the pieces together and kind of creating a scenario which seemed like a feasible outline of where we may be heading based on what was currently available to me. And almost everything that I put in that film, and a lot of people actually told me I was going right out on a limb when I released that film, but virtually everything that I put in that film back in 2012 has been proven to be correct. And it has shown that we are most definitely heading towards a transhumanist agenda. And look, I can appreciate that there are a lot of people who are quite interested in transhumanism and who are looking forward to going that direction and who view any criticism of the transhumanist program as being criticism of technology and perhaps associated with a fear of technology. And nothing could be further from the truth, folks. I have no fear of technology. I love technology. However, I am prudent enough to understand that technology can be good and it can be bad. It simply depends on who is in control of the technology. And as far as the transhumanist agenda goes, if the human race is to be genetically altered or turned into half man, half machine or anything, if we are to be modified genetically in any way, then it should be done via the open, free choice of the people. People should at least know this is going on and they should be given the choice as to whether they wish this to happen to them. There is no way that anyone should be forced into surrendering a right of ownership over their body and being turned into something against their will or, more importantly, against their knowledge. And the question becomes, is the human race indeed being subject to such genetic modification and is it being done without their knowledge? And well, when you look at things, folks, I would have to say the answer to that question is a very resounding yes, or at least that's what all evidence would indicate. And this is something that really can't be denied. You know, they're doing this to us, folks. They're modifying the human race. They're doing it by modifying the food. They're doing it by putting nanotechnology in the food, spraying us in the skies, all sorts of stuff. And do not doubt that there is nanotechnology in the food. This has even come up in mainstream. There was a report in the Australian newspapers a few months ago from a mainstream investigative body. I can't remember who it was offhand, but it was something like the food regulators or something, and they analysed some of the food that's for sale in Australia, and they asked the question of the Food and Drug Administration of Australia what nanotechnology is doing in our food, because you had told us that it isn't in there, which is kind of interesting in itself that they're even asking that question to begin with. But what they found is that there is nanotechnology that is appearing in popular salad dressings, in popular sweets, in popular sauces, and all sorts of stuff that people are buying in Australian supermarkets. And I'll guarantee, folks, if this is happening in Australia, then it's also happening in many other countries around the world. So there is no doubt that the human race is being modified. We are being genetically engineered from the inside out, and also by many of the chemicals we are breathing, I would say as well. And I would say that is why this big vaccine push is also happening around the world, most especially in Australia. Now, this is a weird thing for people to come to terms with. It's extremely confronting information. And yet, when you look, the evidence to corroborate this claim lies all around us. Simply the substances, the chemicals, the things that we're finding in our food, the nanotechnology, and the similar substances, chemicals, and nanotechnology that we're witnessing coming down in chemtrails. All of these fibers that people are finding all over their back lawn, and people who think chemtrails are not real, well, folks, they are. You really need to look at this. They've admitted that they're spraying the skies, and we know they are because we've done soil and water analysis And we're finding nanotechnology and the same chemicals, barium, strontium, all these things in everything. And you've got to wonder, well, what are they doing? What are they doing to the human race, and what is the point of this? And how are they ever going to have any of the human race left if they do this and if they modify the entire human race? What would be the point? How would they have their slaves to run the machines? How would they have the slaves to harvest for their pedophile activities and all the things they get up to? Well, what if they are creating a new form of human? What if they can really do away with society as we know it to a profound degree, like the way they kind of presented things in Brave New World? What if this was all coming about? And what if they were actually able to do away with both parents at the same time? Grow children, breed children, grow men and women, but not from men and women. That would be an interesting thing, wouldn't it? What if they were able to breed men and women simply from chemicals that they put together? I mean, this is what they have been trying to do for a long time. The question, of course, would be in breeding such men and women is whether these would be real men and women, whether they would have the genetic code needed to really have anything that will be construed as a soul or any type of genetic memory. I mean, what sort of genetic memory will we have if we were born from chemicals? I mean, of course, each of us is a construct of the genetic memory of our parents and all of our ancestors on both sides. We contain the waters and the genetic codes of all of those who came before us. But what if you were able to create a human being from complete synthesis from the ground up? And is there any indication that that is where science is going? Because that would be true transhumanism if they were able to do that and able to genetically modify the organism all along the way via nanotechnology and perhaps program whatever sorts of feelings and emotions they wanted this individual to have. Is that sort of thing possible? And is there any indication that that is where science is going? And folks, the interesting thing is that there is, in fact, every indication that that is where science is going. And in such a world that was run by a corporate system and was controlled by AI that simply bred its own human beings from scratch as a perfect slave race to do what the elite wanted, and there were just those few at the top who continued to breed normally and continued to keep their bloodlines going, then this could perhaps serve to remove them of conscience as well, because would the humans that they are harvesting really even be human, since they had grown them themselves? Now, this may seem like a really out there, far out, esoteric thing, and you think, oh my God, Max has gone off the deep end again. Where is he going with this? But recent advances in science indicate that this is, in fact, exactly where science is going. And one really has to ask what type of a world that would be and what type of a human race that would be and whether that race would ever have the ability to ever even have the consciousness to realize it was a slave and therefore ever be able to emancipate itself from the system. What would become of the human race if such a system were allowed to come online? Of course, it would be certain members of the human race who would maintain their genetic codes, those at the top and the selected families that they choose to, I suppose, breed with along the way, because you're going to need brood mares, you're going to need to be able to interject a few bits of extra DNA into the family along the way. This is why people such as the royal family keep other lesser nobility around them, such as when the Prince of Wales married Diana Spencer. This was to simply introduce some new blood into the kingly stock, because they need to dilute the line a little bit sometimes because they're so inbred. And even Princess Diana herself often referred to herself as simply being a broodmare that was brought in for that sole purpose and then simply discarded. So there will be lines at the top that are still continuing. You know, the human race will continue. But what will become of the rest of the human race, especially those in the Western world? And of course, once this is put in place in the Western world, then it will quickly spread out to the rest of the world as the rest of the world becomes more and more corporatized, which is, of course, the way everything is going in every single country on earth, or at least every country that the World Bank has so far got hold of, and those countries that it hasn't got hold of, it soon will get hold of if the people do not wake up and see what's going on. And as I said at the start of the show, some of these topics may seem to be quite uncomfortable, folks, and it may seem like I'm bringing you negative information, but I'm not. I'm simply bringing you information because once you know the information, it gives you the opportunity to heal the situation. But if you're going to close your eyes to what's going on around you, then you're never really going to find any healing to the situation. Now, in regard to this transhumanist agenda and the possibility of being able to basically grow people without needing people to do it, recent advances in science have really shown this to be well on the way, folks. Scientists are now able to create fully functioning sperm in a laboratory, and they do this by using stem cells. And earlier I said, what if they are able to synthesize human beings from the ground up? And of course, stem cells is the way they can do this sort of thing. And stem cells are produced in every birth. So once you've got the cycle going, then this gives you access to more stem cells by which the process can then be maintained. Now, they're able to produce fully functioning sperm in a lab. And of course, they've done this under the pretext of helping infertile couples because it's thought that around 15% of couples are infertile because the males are unable to produce viable sperm. One would question why this is on the rise so much, and I would suggest it's because of the amount of estrogen in the food now, because all of our food, of course, comes packed in plastic, and plastic leaks estrogen into the food. So this would be very much contributing to the drop in the male sperm count. And another thing that they're making rapid progress with as well are the construction of artificial wombs. Scientifically, this is called ectogenesis, which was a term that was popularized in 1924, I believe. But this is basically a device in which a fetus can be implanted or an embryo can be implanted, and it will be hooked up via an umbilical cord where it receives nutrients. And it's very much what we've seen the birthing chambers that they had in The Matrix and in the recent Superman movie, Man of Steel, and all this sort of stuff. This is where they're going, folks. They're creating these devices now. In fact, I believe they already have them. And they already have, as they've just announced, the ability to synthesize fully functioning sperm. So then all they need is the eggs. And again, once the cycle is going, you've got babies in chambers that are being fed by an umbilical cord. There are, of course, stem cells in the umbilical cord. You produce male and female human beings, and of course, because you are able to genetically construct these human beings to be exactly what you want, genetically code them to be exactly what you want, and perhaps even enhance them with nanotechnology right from their inception, you would probably be able to create your certain worker races, your certain scientific races, and of course, your certain breeder races, which would be women from whom you can then harvest eggs. And you can really see how the powers that believe they be would be considering all of these possibilities and seeing how attractive they are for them in their construction of the perfect prison and the perfect workers to operate within that prison. So, does that all sound a little bit too far-fetched, ladies and gentlemen? Well, unfortunately, the science would indicate that it's really not so far-fetched at all. And really, when you start looking at the rest of it, look at how all the rest of this ties together. Look at the smart grid they're putting together. Remember, you're an electromagnetic being. Everything we experience is electromagnetic. Every feeling you have, every emotion you experience, every touch, every taste, every smell, it's all electromagnetic information that travels around your body. Now, you do something, it sends a signal to your brain, and your brain tells you what you're doing. It gives you the sensation, the experience to experience what you're doing. As I said, this is how you taste things, and this is how you see, smell, and experience things, how you hear things. It's all electromagnetic. So it's been determined and it's been well established that they are able to intercept the brain and intercept your senses at certain points and implant images and voices into your mind. There's been certain places in Japan where they had holographic displays out the front of buildings, and they got into trouble because people heard voices in their heads when they walked past the building because the holographic display and the output of the machine was accessing certain neural pathways, which was actually able to intercept their neural pathways and put voices or images in their head. We know we can do this because all you're doing when you see something is you're reading an electromagnetic image, an electromagnetic impulse that is coming to your brain. So once you've got this smart grid in place and they're able to send out these electromagnetic fields, if they are able to construct human beings themselves using their own biology and implant these human beings with nanotechnology from the ground up since inception, could they not then theoretically program these people to be accessible via certain frequencies and certain back doors and little bits of technology that they're running inside them? Would they not be able to then identify each through the nanotechnology and control and program the actions of these people via the nanotechnology and the smart grid they're putting in place? I mean, this may sound all pretty far-fetched, but when you look at what you are in relation to being an electromagnetic being, you look at what the smart grid is doing and what it has the potential of doing. You look at certain things that we've seen, such as they've been able to switch the genes on and off in mice using nanotechnology. We've seen this about 2 or 3 years ago. I had a news article on the website where they actually were able to switch mouse genes on and off using nanotechnology, which had been introduced into the mouse, and by using radio frequencies, they were able to switch the genes on and off. So we know this is what the technology can do, and we can see what they're constructing. And the way they seem to be eliminating the need for parents altogether would indicate that this is the way they're going. And really, folks, if you're a control freak psychopath who really wants to have just your race and the rest of the world goyim, then this would seem to be the best way to go about it from a psychopathic perspective. And because this technology exists and there seems to be so much effort to bring it online, I would suggest that this is something that we should be looking at because this is a great concern for everybody. And frankly, folks, they seem to be exterminating the human race and replacing it with one that they're constructing themselves. But I think we've reached break time now, so I'll leave you with those rather uncomfortable thoughts, and hopefully we'll come back with something a little bit more positive after the break. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so the human race is being altered. Well, that's what the evidence would indicate anyway. We are being altered, and it's being done right in front of our faces. In fact, we're not just being altered. What's happening is, for the most part, we're being exterminated, folks. And I know that's kind of an uncomfortable truth for people to deal with, but it is an unfortunate reality. We are being exterminated, and we are being replaced. That's what evidence would indicate anyway. And we've known this is going on for a while. There's been a lot of people talking about it. We've seen all the additives in the food. We've seen what they've done to our water. We've seen what's in the chemicals that they're spraying in the sky now. There's all sorts of fronts that this is being done on, but we are absolutely being attacked from a variety of directions. And we're being dumbed down and fed disinformation at the same time. The media is, of course, hugely complicit in this activity. The media is very much keeping the truth from the people, as is their way. But the fact of the matter is that the human race is very much under attack, and we need to respond to this attack, folks. We are under a full spectrum attack, and we really do need a full spectrum response. It's time we stopped being politically correct about things and actually started calling things out for what they are. We are under attack. Our politicians are poisoning us, they're poisoning the air, they're poisoning the food, they're poisoning the water. And if people are not prepared to admit this, well, they're keeping their heads in the sand at their own folly, ladies and gentlemen, because there is no way to deny that this is happening, and there is no point turning away and pretending that it isn't, because it's just going to get worse if people do not respond. The question is, what sort of a form should that response take? And that's what we've been trying to formulate in the independent media for so long now. That's what I've been attempting to do with Full Circle Project, try to get people to come and put their ideas on the table, because between us, if we put our heads together, we are going to find a way through this. But it's not going to happen if we don't rise up as a species and start calling this out for what it is. That really has to be the first step. We've got to stand up and simply stop what we're doing and call this. And it really blows me out how people don't do it, how people think that everything will just go away if they keep their heads in the sand, how people go through their lives and think, well, don't worry about me. I've got my head down. If I just work hard and get a stake, then I'll be able to buy some land and a house and I'll get through all this. They don't realize what's going on around them, and they don't realize that they're standing on the train tracks and that the train is actually coming. Well, actually, very often they do realize that they're standing on the train tracks, but they just think that if they look the other way or build a little shelter for themselves, the train will bypass them or something. I don't know what it is, but people see what is happening. They get horrified and scared by it, and so they put their heads straight back into their rabbit hole, straight back into work mode, and just work harder and pretend that if they do, everything will go away and it'll all be okay. And it really doesn't work like that, folks. You need to pay attention, and we do need to organize ourselves and develop a coordinated response to the criminal cabal that is running this world into the ground and stealing things from us and vaccinating us and all the things they're doing, folks. I mean, it's ridiculous. We can't let these criminals continue what they're doing, but we need to have a united community in order to respond to them. So let's put our stuff down and get a bit of unity happening, shall we, folks? It's really time for us to do this. I mean, in Australia, they're even talking about spraying vaccines from the sky now, folks. Aerosoled GMO vaccines that they're going to be spraying all over the population. So do you think it's time for you to pay attention now? Really, I think it is. I think it's time everyone started paying attention. And realizing that what we're dealing with is criminals, folks. We've got to stop being politically correct. We've got to stop voting people in and voting people out and signing all the petitions that they put there for us to sign. We've got to start standing up and calling them out for what they are, asking the police why they don't deal with crime anymore, why they just run around and enforce legislation. They don't actually deal with criminal activity. And when there's things such as forced medication happening, which is a complete violation of not only our constitution, but of every human right that there ever was, forced medication is completely and utterly inhuman, ladies and gentlemen, and should not be allowed by anybody. And yet here we have our governments doing it open slather across the world. And people can see it in front of their faces, but they really don't know how to respond to it. They don't really seem to realize the power that a united community would have if we all simply stopped what we're doing and turned to face it. You know, I'd really like to see a national strike. I'd really like to see an international strike. In fact, let's organize one. Let's organize a day of non-compliance. I've said it before. I've been trying to organize it for years, but I think we need to organize a day of non-compliance sometime very soon. I heard someone say April 15th would be a good day. I don't know if that's time enough to really organize it, but it would be great to see a worldwide day of strike, a worldwide day where people simply refuse to participate in this slavery system and where they stand and call this out for what it is and refuse to go back to work or refuse to continue to participate in this system again until some changes are made, or at least until we've routed out the criminals who are currently in control of things. But of course, our problem in ratting these people out is that we're always politically correct about it. We always want to do things according to certain legal parameters that are given to us. We don't just stand up and call it out. George Bush is a criminal. Barack Obama's a criminal. Malcolm Turnbull's a criminal. He's a liar and he's a criminal. He should be arrested. He should be taken to the Hague. It's not a debatable point. We don't need to vote him out or have an investigation or see if he's been participating in some scandal or whatever. We need to call him out for what he is. He's a criminal. He needs to be charged. He needs to be taken to a court for a trial. He doesn't need to be investigated. We've already done the investigation. Just look at the state of the world. All these people are criminals. They need to be taken for trial. That's what they need. You know, we've got to get some sort of an action mounted, folks. We certainly can't go on the way we are. And look, when I say they need to be taken to the Hague for trial, please don't think that I'm placing any faith in the Hague or in the legal system, because I certainly don't. I have no faith in these systems at all. I think they're completely and utterly corrupt and we'll never get any justice from them. But at the same time, I do recognize the need to be speaking to people, the sleeping masses at least, in a language that they can understand. Many of these people believe the legal system to be real, and they believe that they will find remedy there. So that's a tool that we can use to at least get their attention. And, I mean, hopefully if we did take someone to The Hague and it demonstrated itself to be the complete and utter miserable failure that we all know it is, then that itself would serve to wake up even more people because they'd see how they're being played and they would see that there is no justice that will ever be served for the people in the parameters that are given to us by this system. At least it's demonstrated that to people. At least it's shown them how corrupt it is. But the problem is, as I said, folks, our politically correct response all the time to this system. I mean, let's face it. The system is not exactly politically correct in its dealings with us. It is extremely unfair to the people. It is absolutely brutal to the people. So why should we be playing by their parameters in our response to their criminal activities? Because that's what they are. They're criminal activities. That's all these people get up to is criminal activities. But we don't call it. And we have to call it. And until we are prepared to do that, we're not going to get anywhere. I keep saying this, and I know I repeat myself on this, but perhaps I'm getting a little frustrated and perhaps a little desperate because I've been calling this out for so many years now, and the response seems to be getting more and more fractured to this system. There are so many mechanisms in place now that are working to divide the independent media. There are so many voices out there now that are attempting to even shut down the independent media and create as much division as possible right at a time when we need unity. So be very, very wary of people calling out division and attempting to lead you down their blind alley, folks. Be very, very careful of this. If they're not working on a coordinated response to this system and something that will actually work to reach the sleeping masses, then be very, very careful of where you're being led, because now more than ever, we need people to be paying attention and to be mounting action on the ground in their own communities. I mean, ultimately, folks, what we need is a system of self-governance. But realistically, it's going to take a little while for us to be able to lead ourselves back to that point. Now, we've got all the ammunition we need to expose the fiction for what it is now. You know, we've gone down all of these different legal and free man rabbit holes. We've exposed what the legal name is all about. There was a point when the whole lose the name crew, I mean, there was a point when these people could have actually made a difference had they stood up and pushed that and pushed it into the face of the system when the system still had to pretend it wasn't locking itself down. Unfortunately, in places such as Australia now, you simply can't do that because they will just arrest you and tase you by default simply for refusing to give them a name. There was a year or two ago you could get away with that sort of activity in Australia, but now you simply can't. However, we know how it works now. We've had all of these rabbit holes open things up for us, and we've seen the workings of the mechanism pretty clearly. Well, a lot of people have, and we're able to explain it to a lot of people now. And ultimately, as I said, the ultimate goal would be anarchy, self-governance. That is really the state the human race should be in. But we've got to be careful in how we approach this and how we maneuver ourselves back to that point. You know, this whole exercise has been about freedom. It's been about emancipation from slavery. Not freedom for the individual, but freedom for the entire human race, because there can be no freedom for the individual while the rest of the race is still in chains and in prison. You're never going to be free in that sort of a circumstance. You're simply going to be more free range than the other prisoners. Or perhaps you're going to be free range and they don't really know they're in a cage anyway, so it doesn't matter. But that still is not freedom. And what this whole thing has been about has been freedom from the beginning. That's what this whole movement has always been. That's what this whole push for consciousness has always been. Ultimately, it's been a push for freedom. And in the creation of that freedom, we need to ensure that people are not hurt and discarded along the way. You know, that's why a violent revolution would be such a bad thing, because so many people would suffer. That's why just collapsing the system and claiming a right of anarchy right now, a right of self-governance right now, would be a bad thing, because so many people are not ready for it and so many people would suffer. And that was not really the intention of the movement, ever. It was never the intention of the movement, the freedom movement, for people to suffer. What it was about was bringing these people freedom. But they need to be educated into what freedom is and educated on ways to exercise that freedom and basically educated on who and what they are before they're even going to be capable of becoming free and of standing in anything that could be called a state of self-governance or anarchy. And if we are not prepared to do that and not prepared to put the effort in and take the time it takes to re-educate people into a true knowledge of themselves and a true understanding of what self-governance means, then by bringing this system down and deposing the leaders and stepping straight into a world of self-governance, all we're going to do is step into a world of chaos, which will create power vacuums in which a lot of people will suffer simply because they are not capable of looking after themselves. And so we've got to find the stepping stones that we need to lead us back to a point. You know, I believe the first step is to come to terms with the fact that we have criminals that are in positions of power, and we need to, for the moment, at least call these people out and have them replaced with some people of integrity and open this system up to scrutiny to a point where it becomes transparent so we can, over a series of a couple of generations, lead ourselves back to a point where self-governance is actually possible. But I mean, hey, that's just a suggestion, but whatever these steps are that we're going to take, the first thing we need to do is to call these people out and come to the realization that the world is run by criminals, as I keep saying. We've got to realize that we are being attacked on all fronts by people that we employ to look after things for us. They're not looking after things for you, folks. The government is not your friend. Even now, there's been talk in the United States that anybody who questions the official version of 9/11 is a potential terrorist. So I guess that means half the population of the United States are now considered to be potential terrorists in the eyes of the government, when it is actually the government who is carrying out terrorist activity against their citizens. You know, all these things the government do, folks, all this incredibly right-wing activity and all the hate crimes they commit against the population, while at the same breath apparently outlawing hate crimes. They say it's not allowed for you to criticize government or criticize this or criticize that, but the government is able to criticize you. They're able to criticize anyone who questions their activities. They're able to criticize anybody who questions the official fantasy of 9/11, which is presented by the various governments, which has got so many holes in it, it's ridiculous. But you're not allowed to question any of this, and this is essentially the government carrying out hate crimes against critical thinking, if you really want to look at it. And if you question their activities, they accuse you of carrying out hate crimes. It's the same with their coining of the term anti-government extremism, which seems to be a favourite in Australia these days, and I'm sure it is around the rest of the world. But even the concept of anti-government extremism, this is essentially very, very extremist thinking from the government. So basically they're acting in an extremist manner by attempting to curtail any criticism of their actions and squash anyone who speaks out against them by labelling them an extremist, when really their actions are that of an extremist. You know, everything's backwards, folks. It always is with government. That's just the way they operate. But you can tell that when they're calling out somebody for something, it's usually them that is actually committing the crime they're accusing the other people of. And if you really want to look at it, folks, just look at their track record, because this always seems to be the case. You just can't trust these people in anything they say or do. And it really is completely foolhardy to think that you can. If you ever have any rules in life, folks, then the first one of them should be to never believe or trust anything the government or mainstream media tells you. I mean, sometimes I just don't know what it's going to take for people to see this. We see all the problems that we have in our society, and yet we continue to look for remedy within government. We continue to vote people in and vote people out. I mean, why don't we run for office ourselves or something? If we're going to have political parties at all, why don't we just not have political parties? Why don't we just have independents running for office or something? Or why don't we just refuse to participate in the system at all? I mean, that would be great in countries like Australia. It wouldn't work very well in the United States, because voting is not compulsory in the United States. And so it doesn't matter how many people don't vote, you'll find that the criminals at the top always do vote. And they vote for themselves, and they've got those digital voting machines anyway, whereby they can flip the results to whatever they want anyway. But in Australia, where voting is compulsory, it would be a wonderful thing if three quarters of the country simply didn't show up, or the entire country simply didn't show up to the next election and said we refuse to vote until we've got a suitable candidate to vote for. Because we certainly cannot continue to support this system, and we cannot continue to believe that we're going to find remedy by voting people in and voting people out. It simply doesn't work that way. The game is rigged, folks. It's rigged from the ground up. The people that we're voting for are people who are selected and they're already bought and paid for before they're put in positions where we can vote them into office. So we need to acknowledge that, and we need to clearly acknowledge what this system is before we choose to participate in it. And when we do participate in the system, we need to understand that the best hope we've got is to be able to use parts of the system against itself with the aim of waking up the people around us to the corruption and the fiction that is the system. That's really the only hope that we've got. That's really the only type of remedy we're going to find within the system, is to use it to expose itself. And the beauty is that the system has to pretend, or those within the system, you know, those within the state, have to pretend that their law is real. They have to pretend that there is justice. So if we're brutally honest in our approach and don't allow ourselves to get tied up in red tape and political correctness and what the state tells us we have to do, but just be brutally honest and call a spade and speak the truth, we'll find that this has an incredible result because it exposes the corruption of the system. It exposes all the flaws in the system, and it simply spells it out for the people around you as being the farce that it is. And that's honestly the easiest way to wake people up, folks, but you've got to be prepared to make that stand and stand up and call things for what they are. Don't be politically correct. Don't go down all the legal pathways they give you. Simply stand up and speak the brutal, honest truth. You do that and you will shock a lot of people into wakefulness simply by default. I mean, that's why I've had so much success with the radio shows, folks. It isn't because I've done anything special. It's just because I haven't been politically correct. I haven't pulled any punches in what I've said. I've simply been brutally honest and called things as I see them from my perspective, regardless of the consequences and regardless of anybody's feelings I may hurt along the way. That's just the way I've done it. And I've found that a lot of people have agreed with me. A lot of people comment and write to me and say, wow, this guy speaks my mind. And that's the thing. People just don't speak their own minds. They're too afraid to. They police their own thoughts because they're afraid of what their peers may think about them. And of course, in the current political and social climate, they're also afraid of what the state may do to them if they do speak out. But really, folks, I think it's gone way past that point. I really do. I mean, look what the state is doing now. The state is not exactly being nice to anybody. It's been turning the heat up in gradual increments for years now. And if you don't speak out about the state and what it's doing, then you're not going to be safe. It's not going to leave you alone. It's just going to lock itself down even more. And when the time comes for you to stand up, because that time will come, because it will come for everybody eventually, when that time comes, you're not going to have any ammunition left. You're not going to have anything to stand up with because you left it too late. You allowed the prison to be built around you and you never called it when you had the chance to. And that's why it's important for people to do so now. You know, you look at this situation and there really is a spiritual approach to this. There really is a spiritual solution to this. And that solution is to know your own power and to stand in it. To realize that we're just dealing with people here. You know, I've said this so many times. People say to me, you know, where's the remedy, Max? You bring all these problems to the world. You tell us about what's going on and all of these issues, but you never provide remedy. But really, folks, I've provided remedy in every single show that I've done because the remedy is you. The remedy is for the people to know themselves and to be prepared to stand up and call things for what they are. You know, it is a spiritual solution that we're looking for, and it is a spiritual approach that's going to heal this situation, but it's only going to happen if we choose to apply it. And that's the thing. Too many people want a remedy spelled out for them. They want a shining knight to come along on a big horse and save them, but it's not going to happen. People have to save themselves, but if they don't know themselves, then they're not going to do that. And that's why I've always had this type of approach with the show. That's why I've always attempted to bring people a spiritual understanding of themselves. You know, the first few years that I was on the air, I took a very, very spiritual approach to all of my radio shows. I did everything I could to help people see the beauty in themselves or discover the beauty in themselves and to discover the beauty in other people, because I think that's where the remedy lies. But there's only so much that I can say in that regard, and you tend to repeat yourself too much, and really it just waters the information down. But all those spiritual understandings that I attempted to convey to people in the early broadcasts are extremely important for dealing with what we're seeing in the world today. You know, having that foundation in your own spirituality, having that foundation in the knowledge of who and what you are can provide an enormous strength for people in dealing with this system and an enormous calmness for people when standing up against it. It becomes not so confrontational when you realize that you're just dealing with people regardless of what the fiction is that they've written on paper. It's just people that are claiming a right of ownership over other people. And we don't have to go along with it. We can call it out and we can name it for what it is. And if we are a person of integrity who does what we can to help those around us and who leads by example in the community around us, then you'll find that you will have people in your community that will stand up with you and will respect you for standing up because they know that not only are you standing up for yourself, you're also standing up for them and standing up for their children and standing up to just call things the way they are. And if you do it in a calm, non-confrontational way, then you don't come across as some wild rabble with conspiratorial ideas. You come across as a decent, honest person, a caring person who is simply asking questions and is asking pertinent questions that affect everybody. And people begin to see the sanity of your actions and the insanity of the system. And that really is the best way to expose it. To lead by example in what you do and to have a good rapport with your neighbors, a good rapport with your peers and the people around you so that they listen when you speak because that encourages them to speak. And the more people who do speak, then the better off we are. And that's one thing that has come out of all of this, folks. The independent media has literally skyrocketed. It's grown exponentially. And not because everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon, but because everybody is waking up and people who do wake up see the absolute necessity in speaking out and spreading the truth through their own circles of friends and reaching as many people as they can because they know that together we can make a difference and indeed we are making a difference. And that's been very encouraging to see. I tell you, at Anacapulco, I did speak to a lot of people who came up and said what a difference a Full Circle Project has made in their lives. There were many people who said, yes, we've got our groups going, we're meeting regularly and we're taking action on the ground. I spoke to at least 4 or 5 groups at Anacapulco Conference in Mexico who are all getting involved in the Full Circle Project, and that was very encouraging as well. So do get involved in that, folks, because that is a mechanism you can use to link up with people, form a support group in your local area, and get involved and get motivated and get into action on the ground where you live, because that is where we're going to make a difference. But we are almost at the end of the show here, folks, and I would like to send out a dedication on this show to my dear father who departed this world last Sunday, the 28th of February, 2016. He's now moved on to a better place. So this show is for you, Dad, and I hope things all work out well for you wherever you are now and that I see you on the next ride. But that is almost it for me today, folks. Thank you to anybody who has ever helped with the website or made a contribution. They are very few and far between at the moment now that I have no PayPal. You are still able to make direct deposits if that is possible. And I have actually got a Bitcoin wallet on the site now. So if you go to the Crow House homepage and click donate, you'll find a link to a Bitcoin wallet that you can make a contribution to if you would be so kind. I really could use some help, folks. I'm really depleting the last of my savings extremely quickly. And once they are gone, then that will be the end of this show. That will be the end of me. And I honestly don't have enough to continue for too much longer. So any support that you can offer would be greatly appreciated. In fact, I think I might open an Indiegogo fundraiser soon in the hope of actually getting something to last me the year and perhaps having enough to work on the next couple of films and hopefully get them finished. But look, that is it for me, folks. I am now completely out of time. So thank you very much for sharing this time with me today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I won't be able to come and do a show next week because I will be speaking, and I believe I will also be speaking the following week. And don't forget, I'm also going to be speaking at the Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia in April and at AB6 in England in May, and also at the Open Mind Conference in Amsterdam in May as well. So I hope to see anybody in the area in those places. But unfortunately, I will probably not be able to get a show done for you next week or the week after. But I may possibly be able to get 1 or 2 shows done before the end of March, and I'll just do what I can. But thanks for sharing this time with me anyway, folks, and I'll get back on the air as quickly and as regularly as I can as soon as possible. But until that time, please take very good care. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.